to my mouth. That's in Psalms 119, 103. Friends, we welcome you all in the name of Hosanna. Behold your King. That's what we greet you in. Hosanna's name. We're glad that you're here today and that you will thirst for righteousness and truth, and that you will hear the truth, because Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, the Hollies, for helping us stir this gift in us and preparing our hearts in song, that we may appreciate God's word more readily and grow in grace. Today's subject, beloved, is seven last words from the cross. Seven last words from the cross. And I'm not going to read the scripture again today, because I'm still struggling with a little congestion, and I'm trying to save words here, trying to save energy, trying to save oxygen. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see. I got a little water up here, so if I dry out a little, I'll be all right, hopefully. But the scriptures will be coming from Matthew chapter 27, verse 26, Luke chapter 23, verses 34, 43, 46, and then we're going to conclude in the book of John in chapter 19 through 26 through 27, 28, and verse 30. So let us ask God's mercy as we go in a word of prayer and depend on him for these deliveries. Thank you for the joy, Lord, that was set before Jesus Christ. How he endured the cross, scorning in shame, and sat upon the right hand of the throne of God for our sake. And we can't praise you enough for the act and the love that you displayed on Calvary's tree for us. Speak to our hearts these few moments. May we glean from the scripture. May we appreciate this crucifixion that was all done for us. And we'll give you the praise, and that we'll be better equipped to serve you for the master's use. In his name, amen. Friends, because of the disruption of God, the Son, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because of the disruption, we now have a right standing in a new relationship with God. That's because of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Disruption, can you imagine, of God, the deity, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In those sacred hours, from 9 o'clock in the morning to some 3 o'clock in the afternoon, worldwide, a disruption from the Holy Trinity made the difference for you and I as we sit today. And I think the thought of the crucifixion of Jesus began in the upper room discourse with his disciples. That's where it probably started. Just hours away of that momentous love for sinners, that the debt was to be paid. Somebody will have to pay the debt of sin. If we outside of Christ, it's unfortunate that we got to pay our debt. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the sad part about people without Christ, they already been pardoned. They already been forgiven. Salvation has been completed and is theirs for the taking. And all they have to do is receive it. So this was an act of pain and love and, of course, hope for all of us. And, you know, Scripture teaches Jesus knowed, he knew the hour had to come as he was going to leave this old world. He warned his disciples the imminent betrayal at the hands of Judas, we studied last week. Peter, he knew how he was going to deny him three times. And by the way, Peter became a very mighty preacher and very highly profile minister of the gospel of grace, how God can turn a life around through denial and all the rest, carnality, and he wants to change our lives in a word with transformation. But Christ left them a promise and assured them, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. He told his disciples, who will never leave you. He told them about he was about to leave soon. And that peace I'm going to give to you is going to be a gift. It will be a peace of mind and heart. And Jesus told them in the Garden of Gethsemane, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. In Christ's humanity, he prayed, my Father, if it's possible, let this suffering be lifted, taken away from me, if it was possible. But in obedience, friends, to his Father's will, yet I want your will, Father, to be done, not mine. Christian friend, can you imagine the creator of this cosmos universal crucified by his creatures on some hill outside of Jerusalem will become the site of his last seven words? It was not that the nails that held Jesus to that wretched cross. Yes, it was his love. It was his, someone said, unqualified resolutions out of love for his Father to do his Father's will. And it was love for the sinners like me and like you. End of quote. So let's check out here our first narrative here in the first book of the New Testament, Matthew's chapter 27, please. Matthew 27, verse 46. And we'll start at verse 45. Now, this is crucifixion time. This is the death of Jesus Christ, the sighting here. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour, the 3:00. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried in a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, la sama bathana, which is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was his first series of his last words. And this, in this narrative, the gospel, Matthew shares also there was two thieves who had was slated to be crucified with Jesus. They were cruel bandits. They was just not no casual crooks. They took pleasure in tormenting and abusing and killing their victims as they were associated with Barabbas. And they were to be killed with him. They would be was slated to be killed with Barabbas. Instead, the mob chose Jesus and to take Barabbas' place, as they knew Jesus was innocent, yet both hailed it and casted insults, both of these thieves, at Jesus. But we shall see one had a change of heart and to come and came to saving faith in Jesus. So at the 6 hours, friend, an hour of supernatural darkness fell upon the ninth hour or to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Jesus had been on the cross since 9 o'clock in the morning, roughly, according to scholars. So exactly at the sixth hour, noon, high noon, the high zenith of the earth, the sun, rather, felt upon the earth, the crucifixion and darkness was a mark of divine judgment upon the world. Even the minor prophet Joel, speaking of the day of the Lord, the prophet wrote, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, according to Joel 2:2. The cross was a place of immense divine judgment, where the sins of the world were poured out on the sinless, perfect Son. It was therefore appropriate the great supernatural darkness expresses God's reaction to sin as an act of judgment. So what's happening here? The veil of the temple curtain was torn in two. Just before Christ gave up the ghost, it was said this veil was actually the temple's curtain that was said to be some 4 inches thick and about 2 stories high. Also, great earthquakes was happening and tombs were opening and many saints coming from the dead. Phenomenal. As Jesus cried out the ninth hour, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was, of course, quoting in Hebrew text in Psalms 22, why are you so long far from helping me? According to the Bible commentary, John MacArthur, Jesus was crying out in anguish because of the separation he experienced from his heavenly Father for the first time and only time in all eternity, the Father turned his back upon his Son. In the secret of divine sovereignty and omnipotence, the God-man, Jesus, was separated from for a brief time at Calvary, as the furious wrath of the Father was poured out on the sinless Son, who is in his matchless grace and love became sin for those who believed in him, Even Habakkuk declared, your eyes are too pure to approve evil and canst not look on wickedness with favor. Habakkuk 2, verse 14. Jesus' crucifixion, our friend, was a substitute sacrifice for the world and for you and I. Now let's look here at Luke's gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 23. Starting with verse 34. Jesus said, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They know not what they do. So this is three profound echoes in the part of the seven last words. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We have had all the crowds, the Jewish accusers, the brutal soldiers, the mixtures of the secret followers of Jesus Christ, the curious onlookers. But at the same time, Jesus unveils the depth of his love to all of them. All the onlookers, all the accusers, all the government authorities, and he's in essence in all humanity. Christ shown grace for them and grace for us. In essence, Christ was portraying, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to them who hate you, pray for those who despisefully use you and persecute you or kill you. That's how he responded to these mockings. And verse 43. Okay. Verse 46, I'm sorry. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Into my hands. You know, it's good to be remembered, especially by our God. And it's good that the thieves remember, especially by our God. This repentant thief illustrates all the elements of salvation. All the elements. He recognized his guilt. He knew that he deserved to die. He prayed for forgiveness, but he had no time for church. And it's today. You and I don't have to necessarily shake the preacher's hand. You don't necessarily have to be baptized. You don't have to necessarily join some church. But what did the repentant thief do? He asked Christ, remember me. And that's salvation. That's salvation. He only had time to believe in Jesus. That saved him. Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise, meaning an enclosed garden referring to the new Eden. Jesus' friends will meet us at our darkest hour. The God who loved us enough to sacrifice his own life for us will never forget us. Isaiah says he was to be numbered with the transgressions, but yet the only perfect man on the face of the earth. So are you ready, like the thief on the cross? Are you ready for a parks-like place of peace? Somebody said, once said. So, with a loud voice, he cries out, "Father, into my hands I commit my spirit." Then Jesus took his last breath. In this narrative, one must remember Jesus voluntarily, Christian friends, gave his life for the sake of sinful human beings like you and me. They didn't take his life. He gave his life willingly. Paul writes, God was in Christ reconciling, bringing the world back to himself. And God made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for our behalf, that we may become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. We must never forget the great sacrifice of Jesus. We are reconciled to God by his crucifixion. Yes, we were once his enemies. We were bought to God through the death of his son, and we shall be saved. What an unspeakable gift. And then I want you to turn with me in the last few verses of the seven words in John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Starting with verse 26. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to his disciples, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. We see the untold anguish and suffering that his mother saw, and along with at least four other women there at the time of Jesus' crucifixion, including Jesus' mother, of course, as he looked down from his cross as an act of love and grace and told his mother, "Woman, behold your son, the one that you cherished, the one that God gave to me, to you, the one that's getting ready to shed his blood for you." And to his disciple John, "Behold your mother. I'm giving her to you. I'm giving this widow to you, back to you, to take care of her." Being a widow assigned it the responsibility to John the Apostle, which he done immediately that same hour. Now, let's look at verse 28, our catalyst verse here. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished and that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now, here we see, to wrap this up, let's break this verse down because this is very important. Jesus was knowing all things, right? And he says in this verse, accomplished and fulfilled, which means consummation of his climactic suffering. And Jesus, verse 28 says, "And this knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." Notice that, might be fulfilled. All the scriptures have been fulfilled from A through Z. All the scriptures have been fulfilled. He has begun to be crucified. His hands and feet were pierced according to Psalms 22:16. "They have pierced my hands and my feet." His enemies had mocked him. The soldiers had gambled for his garments. In Psalms 22, verse 18, according to Exploring the Gospels by John Philip says, quote, but one scripture had not yet been fulfilled. The prediction of Psalms 69, verse 21. All the rest been fulfilled. That's why he couldn't say it's finished. They gave me, Christ says, they gave me poison for food in Psalm 69:21, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. After that fulfillment, something happened, didn't it? Then the whole prophetic picture concerning his death would be finished. And Christ was waiting on that cross, and that hyssop that they brought to him had not yet been fulfilled. That's when he said, "I thirst. I thirst." So instantly, those who were standing around in the consummated hearing the prophetic word. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it up on the hyssop and put it in his mouth. Presumably, it was the soldiers was awestruck by the scene who gave this last service for Jesus. The vinegar-soaked sponge was fixed to the hyssop, which had a long stem to reach the cross where Jesus was. When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And the Bible says he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He was in complete control, friends. It's finished. I thirst. It's finished. Every jot and every tittle of the law, every word and deed, all that had been given to do while on earth had now been consummated, completed, finished. Then, still the sovereignty in charge of this situation, Jesus, he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. Thus, no man took his life from him. He laid down his life himself. And that's the picture of I thirst. It is finished. Salvation is finished. And it's finished for us too. And all we need to do is appropriate Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as Christ the Savior. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for dying for us, for that horrendous death, for the mocking and the spitting and the cruelty and the identification with transgressors like myself. And you said not one mumbling word. And you was a lamb as in a slaughter. So, Father, we thank you, Father, for salvations so rich and free. And we pray, Lord, if there's anybody in the sound of my voice having experienced the death, burial, and resurrection and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, may today be the day of their salvation. Thank you, Father, for this. And we ask in Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.